The Dating Know-It-Alls are back once again with special guest Natalie Anderson. But before we get to that, let me just take a moment and to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter, who are the hiring know-it-alls. Because if you are in need of great talent for your business but short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find the perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools, just like we talk about on the Dating Know-It-Alls. ZipRecruiter is different because ZipRecruiter is going to post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you're going to find the right people and save time. ZipRecruiter actively looks for the most qualified candidates and invites them to apply. They even review every application to identify the top candidates so you never miss a great match. Unlike these other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. So find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive.
Hey, did you hear Rob and Steven have a new podcast?
Wait, you mean those guys from Know-It-Alls?
Yep, now they're Love Know-It-Alls.
No way.
Yeah, and they need a new theme song.
I'm pretty sure we could take care of that for them.
Let's do it.
The hottest guys around, they're about to break it down, like they scored a million times before.
Oh. Wait, I thought I was calling into Loveline?
The Love Know-It-Alls. The Love Know-It-Alls. Steven and Rob will figure out a million of love, and there's no doubt they know.
Yes, that's right. The Love Know-It-Alls are back.
Love you, bae.
Thank you. No, thank you, Pia and Steve, for the opening theme song to The Love Know-It-Alls. How are you, Stephen Fishback?
I'm great. I'm really, really great. I'm excited that we're this is our third episode, so I feel like now
we have not been canceled yet.
Yeah, well, we're hitting our stride. You know, like now, like the first one is just a test.
The third date.
The second one,
Steven,
is like, can we do it?
Yes.
This is, you know, this is where we're yeah.
Yes. And Steven, we have another third wheel here with us on the Love Know-It-Alls, and this is somebody.
Third wheel is my life.
Yes, we have long wanted to get back with us here on a podcast. She's been talking about giving people Tinder advice forever. Here she is, one of the legends of RHAP, Miss Survivor, Natalie Anderson, and the winner of some Survivor season also. Yes, but that's not what we're here to talk about today.
No Survivor talk. No. Well, it plays into dating a little bit, you know, since the shows, obviously.
Yes. Natalie, how are you?
Hi, good. We talked like, what, a year ago, Rob?
Yeah, I think it was last April we last talked about Survivor.
Yeah, it feels like a year.
Yes, yes. It feels like it. And Steven is here as well, Natalie. I know that you are very excited about. This is Steven's big wedding year also.
I know. Congrats, Steven, on engagement and soon to be marriage this summer,
thank
right?
Thank you very much. Thank you. So I want to hear, like, does Survivor help you with the dating? I mean, it definitely helps, I think, guys. I didn't know. I wasn't sure if it helped.
No, I don't tell anybody about Survivor when I'm dating. And it sucks because sometimes, like, on Bumble, the guys will put their Instagram and I want to stalk. But they're private, so I would never want them to see my Instagram. So, like, and when guys ask me, like, hey, do you have an Instagram? And I'm always like, no, I don't. Because until I get to know them and they get to know me, I don't want them seeing my Instagram, because I feel like if you Google me, like, the first thing that comes up is the John Rocker and my fight. And so I'm just like, if they judge me on that and like me and Val like fighting, like doing the water fight thing. So I'm like, I do not want them to see those videos before they get to know me.
So much pre-merge news about you that they just, that's not even the top result that you won.
No, none of my good videos are up. Like, I don't know why CBS deleted like all my entire season. Season 29 has no good videos. So it's only the fan videos that are up, which are obviously the most extreme and crazy videos.
Yes. Natalie, the other day I was saying to my wife about how, hey, Steven is getting married this year, and yeah. I haven't heard anything about his bachelor party. Am I supposed to be planning something for Steven?
Wait, are you the best man, though?
That's what my wife said. She said, why? You're not the best man.
No, I have a brother.
Okay, so the best man plans the party. That's how it works.
Yes. We could get some advice for Steven's bachelor party as well along the way.
Have you planned bachelor parties before?
No, I haven't yet. But I heard that Steven is thinking about going to Disneyland
for a bachelor party,
which I think is the worst idea ever.
Wait,
I'm not invited, I would boycott going.
No, you're joking, right? Please tell me you're joking.
Disney World is a great idea.
It's not a joke.
Bachelor party. Yeah, no, that's where my bachelor party is going to be.
You're gonna have like Disney themed strippers. I don't get it.
No, strippers. I don't want any strippers.
He's gonna get a lap dance from Daisy.
You know, I'm a 38, almost 39 year old man. I don't need like to be getting wasted in some like crappy Vegas club. I need, as an almost 40 man, to be experiencing pure joy on the Avatar ride with some of my best buds.
Okay, I'll give you Avatar Land. I went to the new Disney, like Disney World, whatever, Avatar, and it is pretty amazing, like the two new rides that they have.
Yeah.
I'll give you that, but it's still not a bachelor party type setting, I won't say.
Okay. All right, let's not get too much in the Avatar weeds here with Steven's bachelor party, because we need to talk to you about online dating, and that you are the expert. You've been talking about these apps for years, Natalie.
Yes, seriously, before everybody else was on it.
Yes. You were talking about Tinder before it was cool. You have gone on hiatus from it, and now what is your status right now? Are you back?
So I, like, while I was concussed, I didn't date at all. I was just kind of focused on getting healthy and everything. And I didn't feel like dating because it's enough of a headache without a concussion and having concussion symptoms. So I was like, you know what? Forget this. So I deleted my Bumble account and then I re-downloaded it. And it's so bad. Like, as soon as I re-downloaded it, as soon as I started swiping, I recognized everybody from the app. And actually, last night I went out in Hoboken and it's so bizarre because it's like Twilight Zone. I was sitting at the bar and I wasn't drinking last night and all my friends were drunk and I was looking across and I can literally point out three guys that I've seen on Bumble that stand out.
Yeah.
Like, I can like pinpoint them. So I'm thinking to myself, if I can pick out three white boys in a crowd of white people, I'm sure they're looking at me and they're recognizing me from Bumble, you know? So it's just like really awkward. Like,
hey, isn't that the girl that fought John Rocker and Val in the water?
Oh God. Yeah.
Has it changed since you were on it previously? Have you noticed that like the apps
I think now I'm more aggressive now with the way I'm dating. Cause before, I think the concussion changed a lot of things in my life, including like a go get it attitude. Cause before I would like match with a boy and then I'd just be like really, like being super lazy about actually meeting them. Even if they were like super cute, I'd be like, oh, let's meet up and then never follow through. Now I follow through more with like actually meeting up with guys and dating. So I've been like a pretty busy bee recently.
So you take it more serious now.
Yeah. And I don't like take the opportunity for granted because it's pretty cool when you think about like the actual fact that you don't have to go out and you can like literally just sift through the population near you and pick up cute guys that you want to meet. You know,
Natalie, you brought up your concussion. You're doing okay now?
Yes. Thank you so much. Like it took me like an entire year because I don't think I gave my body like the full amount of rest, but I'm back now. I'm lifting again. No issues. Like I'm trying to get my strength back and like just get back into the shape I was before. So thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Now I just need to figure out the rest of my life.
What are the things that you like? What are the things that stand out when you're like swiping? What are you like most looking for in that rapid swipe process?
Okay. So obviously it's super superficial on Bumble. And for me, it's just, I don't read too much. I do read like obviously it says where they went to school. That's a factor, even though it's probably subconscious. But like, I look at the school they went to, and obviously they went to a good school. It's going to play in their favor. But for me, I think it's mostly just...
I didn't know you were so elitist, Natalie.
I know. I didn't realize either until like I realized it affects the way... Because if I see somebody who went to like... I feel like, even though I don't want to admit it, if somebody has like community college versus like an Ivy League, it's going to affect the way I swipe.
What about a state school?
Oh, I love state schools. Okay. State schools, I'm all for it.
All right.
And then like... But
you're
for
that,
me, it's just
Steven?
Like...
Yeah.
I went somewhere in the, like Fordham is not an Ivy League, but it's definitely, you know, has this like kind of reputation of being super preppy and like everybody like is a little, you know, a little bit, I don't want to say like a good and a bad thing, you know, but it has a good reputation. Fordham does.
Okay. All right. Well, that leads us right into our first question for you. And I know we just have Natalie for a little while today. I think she has an actual date tonight before she when she goes off from the Love Know-It-Alls. But a couple people needed some help with creating their profile. Steven, do you want to read this first question from A? And I had a new idea that people had suggested to me over the week. Instead of just saying an initial, so let's give the person a fake name that's not their real name, that starts with the letter of their name.
All right. Okay. Alfonso wants help creating his profile. So Alfonso wants to know, in this day of swiping left or right and people making judgments on others within a 5-second glance of a few photos and basic traits, I fully understand that as a mid-30s, 5'6 male with glasses and an average build, I'm an underdog in the online dating waters. So what's the strategy for creating an online presence that can grab someone's attention when you don't check off all the quote, superficial boxes, unquote, that members of society often look for in their first impression? When I can get someone to actually read my profile, I think my resume is good enough to start fun conversations. PhD degree, interesting job, well-traveled, wide range of interests, etc. For what it's worth, my profile picture has rotated between holding animals, pictures in exotic locations, and action shots of volunteering and altruism. What do you think, Natalie? Is there anything that what should this person be doing other than putting a picture of themselves next to a tiger?
Yeah, that's a big one, right? You like hold like a baby animal, and that I think gets a lot of replies.
Well, it's funny you say that because I have a picture of me holding a baby goat.
Is it working?
We goat fish.
I don't know. It's just like a new picture I had to update after the concussion. And okay, so this guy, I feel bad for him. I'm one of these superficial swipers. For me, if you don't meet a certain weight class and height, there's no way I'm going out with you because I'm not the, like, and obviously for me, my body type is different too. And I want to say the average, but walking around New York City, I can see how most girls can swipe right on a guy that, you know, under 6'4", under 6 foot. And skinny, because most girls don't weigh and like have the build I built. I have. For me, I have to be on a date with a guy and date a guy that makes me feel feminine. And so for that, I need a guy that's at least 6 foot, at least like 190. You can't weigh like within 20 pounds of me, because then I'm just going to feel like I'm dating a woman.
Okay.
I know. So it's harder for me. And like for me, if I see a guy and he's cute, but he looks skinny, sometimes I've asked guys, and you know, this could be me shooting myself in the foot. I'll ask guys, how much do you weigh? And guys are like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. What?
Can a guy gain weight? Can a guy bulk to date you?
Well, yeah, he can bulk up, but like,
he's like, I'm 180. So give me a month and I'll go to McDonald's every night.
No, not that kind of bulk, Rob. Come on. And it's only got to that place if I'm like borderline, like, oh, is this guy like 160, 170? Because if he's like 160, that's way too close to my weight, where I don't want to feel like, you know, I'm dating somebody of the same stature as me. Like for me to feel like feminine and feel like sexy, I need a guy that makes me feel like a woman. So it's a certain type, body type. So I don't know what this guy wants to do. I think he should... He's obviously kind of a nerdy, quirky kind of guy, and there's obviously girls who like that. So he needs to play up his unique traits that is going to spark the interest of a girl similar to him or likes, you know, that kind of guy. And there's a million girls in wherever he lives, like, that's going to be interested in that, and he shouldn't be worried about being some bro who's like jacked on his profile pictures. Cause I know a lot of girls who are completely opposite from me and would never swipe right to the guys I swipe right on and are looking for that nerdier, more sensitive, like, you know, not so much of a bro kind of guy.
Okay. So you're saying that number one, don't be a poser and he shouldn't try to project some image of somebody that he's not.
Don't be a poser, own whoever he is. And I'm sure there's a bunch of girls that's going to be into it. He just has to own it and not be apologetic about who he is and what he looks like.
You got to know your niche. I actually like when I, so pre-Survivor, I had this idea that I was fighting back against my nerdiness. And so I tried to like get really jacked and like, you know, I didn't always wear my glasses. And then I came back and I was like, you know what? I do much better in dating if I have giant glasses, like this nerdy beard, you know, and if I'm skinny, like I was doing better, you know, the more I played into my archetype.
Yes, exactly. And that's true. I felt like that too. I feel like sometimes I want to pretend to be this like super artistic kind of person. And then I'm like, I'm not even that deep. There's no point me pretending to be like some person that like, you know, likes to like go to museums and go to art shows. Like, no, like that's how I feel like some, like that's what people want sometimes. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to own the fact that I'm like basically a meathead. I like watch sports, love food. And all I want to do is like basically work out and hang out and have a good time. And like, there's no point in me pretending to be somebody that I'm not. And so I think that that's the key with online dating is because you can't fake it when you meet them. So why fake it on your profile?
Right.
Yeah, you're missing both lanes. Like the people who are like the meatheads, like they're like, oh, she's so arty. And the people who are arty are like, no, not really. So you gotta like, you know your, yeah, right, your lane. Yeah.
And the goal isn't to make more matches and sort of make yourself into what do you think is going to be the most popular. You want to find people that are going to be interested in what you actually are. And similarly, we have another question from a listener who his name is Dimitri. And he says that he's been trying to use these dating apps now and then, but he has no idea how to market himself in the bio. Should he lead off with his interests or should he go with some witty joke? Relatedly, what's a witty line he could use in his bio that would draw somebody in? Thanks, guys. Should he start, Natalie, with, hey, do you floss before or after you brush your teeth?
I'm not into like the witty, like if it's like super funny, but it's jokingly, like not being too serious, I'm into it. But if it's like some like guy that's obviously trying super hard to be witty, it just comes off as being like too much effort. Like I've gone through like, and Nadia always like helps me because she thinks I'm a hot mess with dating. So she's always like, Natalie, you can't put that. And I'm like, why not? I'm just like trying to be funny. Like, so guys always have, sorry, girl, not looking for anything serious, you know, because guys just want to put it out. So I had on my bio for a while. I was like, sorry, guys, not looking for anything serious. Like, obviously, just a play on words. But then girls, Nadia and all my girlfriends were like, oh, my God, don't put that. And I was like, why? Like, you know? And then, but then, like, I think that I just have, like, a very, like, a quick little, like, thing, a thing about, like, what I like to do. And it's no quote, nothing. I've gone through like weird phases where I feel like I'm just like kind of like being rebellious. And then I'll kind of just be like a little bit vulnerable sometimes, like whatever. I just go through phases. But I think that most of the time what works for me is if a guy's just to the point or has something really, really super funny.
Yeah. To the point in what way? Like to the point about what? Like this, should this guy put his in, like, should he put like, I love reading and sports and, you know, whatever. I mean, or.
So like, let me read you what I have right now on my Bumble. I don't even remember what it is, but let me see what I have on my Bumble. So I have simple. Okay. This is kind of corny, but it says simple pleasures, trails, coffee, sweatshirt, weather, waves, breakfast, Game of Thrones, just DOT though, peanut butter. And then I have fitness is important, but so are tacos. So it's kind of stupid. And then I have like an emoji of like a emoji of a brown girl, like the brown girl emoji.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see what these guys. Most guys just have the Instagram and they'll just put like stalk away. And I'm like, nobody wants to stalk you, bro.
Yeah. And then what would be a response that somebody has given to you that's like a good opener for you? Like, how should somebody approach?
On Bumble, the girl sends the first message, and my go-to message is something really simple, like, hey, like, how's the week treating you? If they're super cute, I'll be like, hey, handsome. Or like, if they're, or if they have something, a really interesting picture, I'll just comment on the picture and be like, I know that beach, because sometimes I can spot out like a beach in Thailand that they've been to, that like one of the famous beaches. Mm-hmm. But then like the guy's usual response is like, it's something like, this is something pretty generic. And then if it's, and if it's generic, you can probably tell that the conversation is just going to fizzle out. But then if it isn't generic and the conversation immediately goes to kind of like a unique slash specific kind of question that's like geared specifically to each other, then, you know, the conversation is just going to ramp up. Otherwise, it kind of just fizzles out and it's like, hey, week's been going great, blah, blah, blah. And then it's just like, then I just ghost and nothing really happens to the conversation.
Can we go back to, you said that you get a lot of help from Nadia with your online profiles. Has there ever been a case where there's a guy that you're interested in and Nadia has already, you know, met that person or been out with them?
No, never. Nadia and I have different tastes in guys. Nadia would probably never swipe right to the guys I swipe right on because they just look like, my type is like guys that just look like assholes. Probably just because they're just more, they're just like hotter in
That's
general.
That's what you like.
Yeah, and Nadia likes like guys, nice guys, and she actually, we used to date on different profiles so Nadia used to have Tinder and I had Bumble, so we would never get the same guys. But Nadia would see the guys I swipe right and she's like, really, Natalie? And I'm like, whatever, leave me alone. It's funny though, because like now with the whole, like after Trump got in, became president, it's funny because my friends will be like, oh my God, he looks like a Trump voter. You can't date him. And I'm like, well, don't ask, don't tell, right? Because I don't want to know sometimes. Because the guy would be cute, but if he tells me he voted for Trump, it just ruins it for me, you know? So sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to know, because then in the back of my head, I'm just going to always be thinking like, oh my God, you voted for Trump. Like, I should not be dating you.
That's an interesting point, though. Like, at what point, you know, if that's so much of a deal breaker for you, is that something that you should bring up before you even meet the person of who did you vote for?
Well, I'm assuming a guy seeing who I am, first of all, I'm a woman. Second of all, I'm a minority. Like, so I think it's a given with the guys I date. So if I'm dating a white guy and he's like from a military background, that's what I've seen the trend is. Like, if he's a military guy or vet, he comes from like kind of like a conservative kind of family. I already kind of know there's a chance that he might have voted for Trump. And it's crazy because I never thought in New Jersey I'd find so many young Trump voters, but I have dated a couple of guys that are really pretty like outspoken about it.
You're doing all this polling, Natalie.
I know.
With all this valuable data.
I told you I've been a busy bee recently.
We'll call you Nat Silver.
Like don't even want to go there in the conversation because I don't want it to ruin it for me if I actually like the guy. But then I know in the back of my mind it's never going to be anything serious because I would never be able to date a guy like that seriously. But if it's something casual, you know, I'll go with it. And then Nadia and all my friends will keep saying like, you need to not date him because he voted for Trump. But if it's casual, I don't see the harm.
Yeah,
only if he's like super super hot, obviously.
Yeah,
right, that exceeds anything.
This is why I'm bad at dating, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question from Allison, and Allison writes in to say, I've always been a one of the boys kind of girl. I'm good friends with a bunch of guys from work, but there's one guy that I particularly really like. He has a girlfriend, but he never talks about her or their relationship, so I can't tell if it's very serious. He and I have a lot in common. However, I feel like we have a great connection / chemistry. A couple of months ago, when we were all out for drinks, I tried flirting with him, but he didn't seem interested in me romantically. We still get along great as friends, but I'm left wondering, can I ever get out of the friend zone? Should I even try to pursue him if he has a girlfriend?
So I think that this girl's barking up the wrong tree. I think that she sounds kind of thirsty, and that's like the worst thing, the worst thing that a guy kind of will want to have, especially if he already has a girlfriend. He doesn't want another girl kind of giving him this extra pressure. So I think she needs to fall back and she needs to wait for him to make the move. If he has a girlfriend That's probably half the intrigue, that why she like kind of wants him now, because she can't have him. So I think she just needs to back off and wait for him to make the move. Because listen, like, if he's into you, you're going to know it. And if he's not into you, you're imagining it in your head, it's just because you want that feeling. So just, I think she should just like back off. And if she's friends with him now, just be friends with him. Be like that one of the guys' chick and see what happens. But I don't think that anything's going to come out of it, of her trying to like force this chemistry and force something happening.
Does someone not mentioning their girlfriend a lot at work, does that mean anything one way or the other?
I think that, you know, just because not everybody has to be like, hey, my name is Natalie and FYI, I have a boyfriend. Like, I think a lot of people, and Nadia is definitely one of these kind of girls where she doesn't, she's so into her boyfriend and she's such a good girlfriend, but she's not one of these chicks that are like, every picture on social media is her like making out with her boyfriend. She doesn't lead with that in conversation, but there's no way Nadia is interested in any other guys. But I can see how a guy would interpret that as being somebody that is trying to not hide, but trying to be a little bit, you know, just a little bit deceptive, I guess. But I don't think that you should read into it, especially with guys. I think guys would be more like that as well, where they don't have like a pin that says, hey, I'm taken on their damn shirt. That doesn't mean that they're trying to cheat on their girlfriend. It just means that they're not, you know, as outspoken about it. I wouldn't read into it too much. If a guy, I've been friends with guys for a long time, and sometimes I'll wonder, hey, like, is he into me? Is he not? But then like, he'll be like randomly mentioned, oh, I have, and this happened recently, like, oh, I have a wife. And I'm like, oh, shit.
You're out on a date and the guy says, I have a wife?
No, not a date. Like, I've been friends with him for a long time and I didn't know that because it never came up in like conversation.
Right.
And I never talked about my dating life, but sometimes I'd be like, wait, I'm sometimes really like oblivious if a guy likes me, because I just assume like a bro position with guys. Usually I just end up being like a friend that's a girl. And then he brought up his wife and I was like, oh shit, like that never came up. And then, you know, then it was like done and like it obviously didn't go anywhere. But in my head, I can see how I could have maybe gone down a route where I was like, oh my God, was he being sketchy? And it's like, no, he wasn't being sketchy. He just like leaves like that part of his life at home. And when we're at the gym, it's just like working out time, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Which is that kind of the same with work, I guess. People can come to work and then just leave that part of their life behind. And then it's two different entities sometimes.
Natalie, is there ever a time when there's a guy that has a girlfriend and you would advise a friend of yours to go for it, where you either feel like, no, this guy is perfect, or it doesn't seem like he likes the girlfriend so much, you should be the other woman?
The only reason I would ever do that, and I've kind of done it once, is when I know that their girlfriend is a psycho or like crazy. So like, I know like he
would
be happy.
That seems like the worst time to do it.
Why? No.
She'll come after you.
Oh, I'm not scared of that. Whatever. I would like, if I'm trying to save a friend and it's like a really good guy friend, not like maybe they don't even like, maybe there's no another chick in the picture either. But you can't like, the one thing I've learned is you can't tell people what to do. You can give them your advice and feedback and that's it. Cause I've done that before where I've told people what to do. And then like the repercussions of that is something you don't want that burden later in life. Cause like their decisions or their relationships have to be their own, you know?
So that's everyone listening should take, you know, that's our official position on this podcast as well.
Oh, it is?
Well, I don't know. Just that we, you know,
don't get mad at us if we give you bad advice. Just like all the people that go back on Survivor, that Steven gives them tips, and then when they don't win, they get mad at him.
Yeah, no, they win. That's exactly the problem.
See, that's like it's exactly like Survivor. And you know what? I'm thinking like I need to date the way I thought, like, because I date really like stupidly, but I feel like I know I'm dating dumb, but because I'm not trying. But then sometimes I think like maybe I should date the way, like with the mindset I had on Survivor, where I was just being really more aware of my decisions and how it affects myself and others. And I just date with a very like kind of casual attitude, like, oh, whatever. If I piss this guy off, who cares? Like, who cares? It's just like another idiot boy from Bumble. but I feel like I don't think of it as like, I don't take it seriously. So sometimes I was like, wait, what are the strategies that help me win on Survivor? How can I put that to use in dating, but it's kind of harder to kind of like translate.
So here's what needs to happen. Okay. So you need to get like blindsided. Like, so Jeremy needs to get voted out. You need to like get cheated on. And then you get so mad.
I need my feelings hurt. So it's hard for me to get my feelings hurt when dating. Like,
I'm going to get revenge on all these people. Watch this.
But I don't know what I want. So that's the thing. Like, I don't want to be in a relationship. So it's hard for me to date and be like, thinking about a long-term goal when I just don't have long-term dating goals right now, you know?
Hey, Natalie, me and Steven saw Missy down in Texas last month. Yeah.
Why the hell are we all in Texas?
We did a podcast there.
Oh my God, cool.
Yeah.
How was she?
She was great. We told her that we were having a show out there and she said,
and we'll just show up.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys need to have her on your dating podcast.
Why, she would be a good source?
Well, yeah, she has a lot of dating experience.
All right, that's a good one, Steven.
Yeah, all right, to the roster. I actually wanted to get back to something you said about the, you know, you're often the friend, because we actually got a lot of questions about people who were feeling friend zoned, that, you know, they wanted to get out of this, both for men and women. They felt like they were stuck in this friend relationship. Have you ever wanted to get out of that? And have you ever been able to successfully get out of that? Or do you not even believe it's a thing?
I know. I'm usually the one trying to put guys in the friend zone. So like for me,
Is the friend zone like Exile Island? I never went there.
What?
I've been in the friend zone.
Friend zone island?
Yeah.
Like if I go on a date with a guy and like I really like him as a person, but there's no like sexual chemistry, I don't feel like I need to lose him as a friend. So I try and see how I can put them in a friend zone without being offensive, because I can feel like if I was a girl that was attracted to a guy and he tried to friend zone me, it would be a little bit of like a little bit of a poke to my ego. But then I feel like I could swallow that pill and be like, you know what, forget it. Like, you can't force chemistry. This guy's a really cool guy. I don't mind.
How cool could he be? What do you need another friend for?
That's true. But like somebody that you can just kick it with and just have like a friend. And you know, I lost Nadia. Nadia used to live with me. She moved to Connecticut with her boyfriend. So I'm down one best friend. Yeah.
A twinny, no less.
Can you go the other way? You know, it's going from the romance to the friend is one thing, but can you go the friend to the romance? That's the real mystery.
I've done that like friend to romance thing. Because I was friends with this guy and he had a girlfriend and then they broke up. So I was like, all right, let's see like what happens. Like if we go from this friend zone where we always had like some sexual chemistry, but it was always like this kind of, it's just like the way guys joke about stuff, like that kind of joking around. But then he was single and it went to like a more romantic slash like whatever dating place. And then we went back to friend zone though. And now we're still friends, which is cool. Cause I don't think a lot of girls can do that and not have like, it'd be like this weird thing to their relationship. Oh, guys, but we were friends in the friend zone. Then we went to a non-friend zone and then we returned back to Friends Island. Now we've been in Friends Island for a while.
Was it just organic? You were like, suddenly he's single and you're like, whoop, you know, there it is. It was there the whole time.
Yeah. It was like almost like we were waiting for a chance to like get out of the friend zone. But then when we went out of the friend zone, we realized we could never be like actually dating each other. It would never work. So we were like, all right, whatever, let's just go back to friends. And then now we're just friends again. And we hang out with each other and it's like totally cool.
See, I don't know if you were ever in the friend zone, if you were really just waiting to get out of the friend zone, you know, if there was so much sexual tension that, you know,
that's true. But we didn't do anything. It's still friends if you don't do anything. Right.
And you asked the like, zone, you know, you weren't necessarily in the zone,
but now we're actually in the friend zone because we went backwards. Right.
Yeah.
See, I don't know, because I've never had sexual tension with anybody else. my own personal sexual tension. Uh-huh. Let me play you a voicemail. We love when we get the voicemails from our listeners. And so here is a voicemail from Swag. You can send in voicemails to this show. Rob has a website.com/voicemail. And Swag has a question about a upcoming trip to Vegas.
Hey, Rob and Steven. It's Swag here.
I'm going to Las Vegas, Nevada for Valentine's Day, and I was just wondering, how can your boy meet his wife in Las Vegas and get married in Las Vegas in a month from now-ish? Thanks. And if your advice is to change my name, that's non-negotiable. Swag till I die. Yeet, yeet. Skirt.
Okay, so I don't think that Swag really wants to get married in Las Vegas, no. But he's going there on Valentine's Day. Natalie, is that a good day for single people to go out and meet somebody?
I was just thinking about what I'm going to do because I don't really, even if I was in a relationship, I wouldn't celebrate Valentine's Day. But because I'm single, I feel like I need to celebrate it like being a, like the opposite kind of celebration on purpose. Yes. Like, get a bunch of girls together or whatever, guys or whoever the hell, and just do something obnoxious, you know, on purpose.
Like what?
Like go to a romantic restaurant where people are having their fake romantic, like, you know, forced dates with a bunch of guys and girls and just be obnoxious and loud. So we
protest
can even, like,
dates.
No, not protest. It just be like assholes at the restaurant and be loud and obnoxious. So it ruins their romantic evening.
Mm-hmm.
Or like go to like a romantic movie, like where all like everybody's just doing it because they think that they have to do it, to like dinner and a movie, and it's like one of the romantic movies, and just like be loud and obnoxious and like make jokes at every single corny thing that happens on in the movie, so that we're just pissing people off that are on dates, like things like that. I've always wanted to do it. I've never actually done it, but I think it would be fun.
Steven, do you have any thoughts on Valentine's Day for single people?
I'm against Valentine's Day. It's so much false pressure. You know, it's such nonsense. Like, you know, the day itself, I totally agree with Natalie. Like, you see all of these like incredibly uncomfortable, forced, like we are trying so hard to have a romantic, meaningful night that we're not having any fun at all.
And it's so much pressure on the guy. It's so unfair. Like the guy has to plan everything. Like, and girls just want what? Chocolates and freaking flowers. Like it's like, if you don't give your girlfriend what America thinks that they deserve on Valentine's Day, it's like you're the worst boyfriend in the world, which is so messed up. It's crazy.
We're going to get a lot of, can I go out with Natalie emails after this, Steven?
Yeah.
I hate Valentine's Day. I actually broke up with my ex-boyfriend on Valentine's Day and college boyfriend, like out of college. And I didn't even realize it was Valentine's Day, but we fought. And then I was like, all right, I'm done. Like, and he was like, and then I realized later it was Valentine's Day. And I was like, oh, obviously, right?
Was he upset? Was he sad that you broke up with him on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I think like he had planned something like corny as usual. And then I was like, I didn't even care. I was like, I told you I don't celebrate Valentine's Day, so stop faking it. Like, I don't want to do anything.
Wow, that was the last straw.
But when I was in college, that I used to be so excited for Valentine's Day because I never had a girlfriend.
Why?
And I would say, like, okay, well, let me go to the bar tonight because I know anybody out is definitely single, that you don't have to worry about anybody who's out tonight has a boyfriend. And I kind of feel like that there's an attitude of like, hey, screw all those. Just like you're saying you want to go and like be a jerk at like restaurants. I feel like that there's definitely people are like, you know, it's like a screw all these couples, like
let's have fun tonight.
Yeah. Yes. It's a little bit sort of like an end of the world mentality of like, hey, like you're out and I'm out and hey, let's go.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of events planned, like single events, like for women and men, like especially I think Bumble started having like meetups, like so they'll organize events where people who are on Bumble can show up. And I think that it's probably a super popular day where there are stuff planned out to specifically single people to do in the city. I was planning to like at my gym, because I'm a coach, I was planning to do like a girls' night out, because if anybody, I don't care, but I know a lot of people just get kind of sad or like depressed if they're not in a relationship. So I just was like, all right, let's see what we can do for the people at the gym, not only girls, guys and girls who are single, like let's just get together and all do something like fun if they wanted to do it. But I don't know. We have like a CrossFit, like a competition, and I'm doing that. So that'll be fun.
Okay. Steven, what other questions do we have?
All right. So this is on the subject of first dates. What's an H name? Helga wants to know if her first date move wins a fishy. Hi, Rob, Steven, and Natalie. I have been online dating for the past year using the Coffee Meets Bagel app.
Okay, it's the worst app ever. Tell her to get off.
Now, what is Coffee Meets Bagel?
Well, maybe it's a type. It's like all nerds.
Well, I mean, you know.
Oh, is that how that's they market it?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, it's like brownies and nerds and like science guys.
I mean, it's called Coffee Meets Bagel. I feel like you know what you're getting.
Yeah, so, but it's like, whatever. Like, that's whatever. Maybe she likes it. So.
Well, you got to assume, you know, I mean, if you, isn't that what we're talking about? Like, finding your lane? Like, if she's
trying to. Yes, I know, exactly. This yeah. That's bad of me. All right, yeah. Go ahead.
Helga has been on many blind dates through the app, and she has developed a first date strategy that she wants our opinion on. When meeting a guy for the first time at a coffee shop, she arrives about an hour or so earlier to work on grad school homework. About 15 minutes before the date, she lets the guy know that she got there early to do work and where she's sitting for when he arrives. She feels comfortable getting there early because she's able to find a good table at the coffee shop as well as buy her own drink just for the first date. And she would love to hear from us whether this is okay or too much of a power move. And Natalie, she wants to know if you have any strategies or advice for girls going on a first date.
Okay, so I do the complete opposite of her. I always go for drinks because tequila makes everything better. Mm-hmm. I show up later than the guy. So I allow him to like get settled in, and then I show up probably usually a hot mess, like running in like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm late. And I let him buy the first round. And I go for the second round because I've done that where I fight the guy to pay first. And I think it's just like this point where it's just like, let the guy be a guy on the first drink. And then I'll be like, all right, second round on me. Let me get the second round. So I think she's, first of all, planning way too much, texting the guy ahead of time that, oh, I'm here doing homework. Completely unnecessary. He doesn't need to know play by play of your freaking day. Let the man live. You just get there if you want early.
Maybe she's going out with more of like Nadia type guys.
Like normal guys? Well, I still think that she just needs to be a little bit less. It's like almost too much communication and too much thought. I think if she wants to get there early, cool. But he doesn't need to know you're studying. And I don't think if she wants to buy herself a coffee, but what is she buying him his coffee too?
How does she know what he wants?
Yeah, exactly.
I got the sense that she's buying already. Her own thing. So when he shows up, she's got her drink in front of her, and then he can, like, you know, find his own drink.
Yeah, I don't. I think that Olga, what's her name? Olga.
Helga.
Helga. I think Helga needs to just take it back a notch. I think that, you know, ordering the first drink together is always kind of cute. Like when I get on a date, I'm like, well, I like tequila. The tequila soda is my drink, and then we'll explore the tequila list together, and like. I'll be like, oh, this is a smoky one. And then we'll ask the bartender. So I think, but she's doing coffee. So how many freaking questions can you ask about coffee? I guess.
Yeah, well, nowadays, yeah, my gosh, all these artisanal coffee shops.
Don't go on a date with Steven.
Also, if she's like, why is she doing coffee? Like, if it's like such a friend zone kind of thing.
That's
like,
Steven's move, Natalie.
No, coffee? No. In college, that was my move. And that was also specifically a move for someone who wanted to ask someone out without necessarily giving away their whole game. I'm definitely like get a drink type of person. I mean, for all of the reasons that Natalie is saying.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, I mean, I guess like I'm technically supposed to be on like a Bumble alcohol cleanse. So then I would be,
technically.
I could do, I was supposed to give up.
Are either okay
Bumble.
Separate? You can drink Orgel and Bumble, but not both?
No, I was supposed to give up refined sugar, Bumble, and alcohol after New Year's, but I broke all three of my resolutions. So whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I think she needs to chill out a bit. And she's definitely type A OCD kind of personality. I think she just needs to cut loose and get out of her comfort zone while she's dating.
I still want to know, why is it called Coffee Meets Bagel? I don't understand. Yeah. I'm on the website and they say that every day we are going to give the guys 21 quality matches known as bagels. What is that? Is it like
love you,
bagel? Like, is that what that is? It's like a bagel.
I never thought of that.
Is that what it is?
No, that's weird. But so the girl has to be a freaking bagel?
The girl's a bagel. I mean, I don't know if that's a anatomy reference, but it's weird. And the guy is coffee? Weird. That doesn't make sense.
There's like a yonic element to the bagel.
That's what That's what I'm saying. Is it like a Jewish website? Like, I don't get it.
Is it a Jewish website? It doesn't say it is.
You know, anything with bagel, you got to assume that, you know, at least culturally, right? We're all Jews. Culturally, we're all Jews, right, guys? Right? wait, so I
think it's a New York City.
I don't think it's like J-Date.
No, not because I know a lot of brownies that are on it.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on here with coffee meets bagel.
I think
it's like, oh my God, it's totally for people who do not want to do like the nightlife dating thing and want to do day dates like this chick Olga or whoever.
Oh, it's for like for daytime dating.
Daytime dating for people who are like, I don't know, not
love
comfortable
you day.
Getting,
oh my God.
Not getting like not comfortable getting drunk with strangers, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. It's for people who like daytime dating.
Daytime dating, yeah. And who want to eat carbs. Like,
you hate that. Carbs and daytime dating.
Oh, no. I love carbs. I'm just saying. Just like bagel. Calling a chick a bagel is, I don't know if that's the best thing.
Don't do that. That's the one piece of advice to take away from today.
I'm trying to think of other new dating things. Oh, my friend was telling me about a new dating site. I haven't, Bumble's like my go-to. Like, I just don't need more than one app. Mm-hmm. You match with somebody and you have, like, I think an hour to like exchange numbers and get your shit together, and then you disappear from each other's like lineup, so you can't drag your feet on like getting plans or at least exchanging numbers ASAP. So you can just be like lingering around like, hey, what's up? Oh, nothing much. What's up with you? Like day to day, you just got to be like, all right, are we doing? Are we hanging out? Like, do you want to switch numbers? Do you want to meet up? What's the deal? Like
an hour? What if you're at the gym or in a meeting or on a flight?
Yeah, then I guess,
movie.
You know, you could lose your soulmate.
Podcasting.
Exactly. Don't worry, I'm swiping right now while I'm podcasting.
Are you really? You are literally swiping on your phone?
Yeah, I do. It's so bad. It's like gambling. It's like you think the next one's going to be, you feel like next one's going to be the jackpot. So you just keep swiping. It's so
wait,
bad.
So I had a question for you when you were talking about, you know, your feedback to Helga. One of the things you said was you would let the guy arrive first to allow him to get settled. Is there like any like psychological strategy there, or are you just typically running late?
I'm typically because like, okay, so I'm coming from Jersey. I match with guys in the city. And for me, it's just like, it's not easy as like, oh, jump on a bloody subway. Like I have to like drive into the city. So I'm not going to plan ahead of time. For me, if I make it on time, that's a win. Like there's no way I'm making it early ever. So that's one part. And I also just think, like, I don't want to be sitting there awkward. I don't care if the guy, how he feels. I just feel better walking in a second. I don't want to be sitting there at the bar. Like, it's so obvious that you're waiting for a fucking random guy to show up because, like, now everybody knows, like, if you're waiting for meeting somebody, it's like people can pinpoint Bumble dates immediately. So I don't want to be there like, oh, should I get a drink and drink by myself? Like, no, I'd rather just walk in second and, like just have like the convenience of you like having me walk in and like the conversation just start right then. So I'm not sitting there by myself and just waiting for this fool to show up, you know?
Well, maybe if you have your homework in front of you, you know, it solves the problem.
Oh my God. I can't believe.
But to go back to Helga though, if she's getting some sense of confidence from getting there an hour early and having a whole system, then, you know, what does it hurt for her to do it? The guy doesn't have to know she was there for an hour.
She tells him.
Well, if it's working for her, she's feeling good. She thinks she should get a fishy for this. That keep doing it. I wouldn't tell you. No, it's you know you're gonna throw the guy off. You should get there on time. If that's what works for you to get there late, then keep doing that.
True. And obviously, if we keep doing the things that we're doing, if Olga or Helga keeps doing the same thing she's doing, and she's going on first dates, and I keep doing the same thing I'm doing, and I keep going on dates, obviously we both might need to switch up strategies a little bit and take a little bit, like, so maybe I need to be a little bit more like her and she needs to be a little bit more like me and maybe we'll find like
you guys should
ground.
Be friends. I'll set you guys up. You can connect as she could be your new Nadia. New 20. Helga.
To your point, Rob, I agree that if she's doing something that makes her feel comfortable, that's a good thing. But, you know, what Natalie was saying in her feedback was all about, you know, Helga's establishing this like this her own little emotional space and that doesn't have room for the guy necessarily. And, you know, Natalie's saying, you know, you're not, you know, she makes it more of a co thing. You know, together they're choosing a drink. You know, there's like immediately kind of an interplay there, as opposed to like her sort of like establishing her forces in front of her and being like, this is my castle. You know, you're welcome to take a seat.
Okay, why doesn't Helga try to do it differently sometime and see how that goes? Because I like the idea of
getting there. Put yourself in
the
guy's position. If I showed up somewhere and the guy's already ordered a drink, it's not rude, but I will like, I've had that happen to me where I show up for a date and the guy's already ordered food. And I'm like, are you freaking serious? Now I have to like, and he was like halfway done with his food and I wasn't late. He just like, was there early and decided that he wanted to eat. And I was like, oh, so I have to eat by myself? And I was like, what?
Hey, you want these guys over 190 pounds. What do you think? They get there by accident?
I know. He's like hungry.
Yeah.
No, but I didn't like it. I was just like, this is awkward. And I was like, okay, but I was hungry. So I ordered and ate by myself. It was weird.
Okay. This is a question from Katrina. And okay. Katrina met somebody online 3 to 4 months ago, not from a dating site. She just happened to be mutual Facebook friends with somebody in a group, which led to her chatting with a guy. And now they either chat or do a Skype call basically every day. She's very happy. The only problem is he lives in Canada, whereas I'm an American. That's not the whole problem. I've asked him to move to the States to live with me.
Oh, my God.
I could see myself marrying this guy, as I told him several times. He's agreed to move in, but he's having money trouble since he's going to have to drop out of school in Canada and lose his paid for tuition and reapply to a school here in New Jersey. It'll be your neighbors.
Oh, wow.
But the price of the school is much more expensive than it is in Canada. And I was the one that wanted him to move out here. So I decided to carry some of the financial burden and get a second job. And I'm not exactly proud of this job, which is why I want to remain anonymous, but I have become a stripper and it pays very well. And it's the only thing I could think of that would allow me to make the kind of money I'm looking for in this short window that I have. Do you think that the end justifies the means in this scenario? I'm not happy with stripping whatsoever. And I'm actually ashamed of it, but it's the only way I can get my eventual husband and his Canadian bacon to live with me. Thanks for the help, Katrina. Steven, should she be investing in some sort of cryptocurrency instead of stripping?
Yeah,
that's the way to go.
That's the safe bet. Yeah. You know what? My feeling is that there's nothing wrong with stripping, except that she's obviously unhappy with it.
Why doesn't she just move to Canada and be a stripper there so she doesn't have to make him move?
Oh. Well, what are the wages like for Canadian strippers?
Probably better, and they probably get treated better than American strippers.
I don't know. They've got those loonies and toonies there, and I think that's...
American, yeah. I don't know. Listen, I have no problem with her being a stripper. I don't know why she's ashamed of it. She needs to just get over that first. But she needs to not force him to... Is this real life?
I don't know. They've only met 3 or 4 months ago. This is a lot.
Online.
This is a
it's a lot.
Yeah, I would never make a guy move into another country for me before we were married, and I would never make him go to a school and then pay for his university. I would be like, finish your school and then come over here. Oh, I would move to Canada and be a stripper. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I would do. Just saying.
This is love. This is really like, you didn't even know this person.
It sounds
3 months
like an episode of Catfish to me.
Who's being catfished? The guy or us?
Us and the guy.
We're all being catfished?
Seriously.
Steven, you feel like this is a true story?
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot going on here in 3 to 4 months.
Natalie
feels like that this is fishy and she's not talking about your award.
Not the good kind
of fishy.
Yeah. Okay.
But your advice would be for somebody in this situation that there's no shame in your game.
There's no shame in your game, but why rush it? There's no way I would like force a guy to quit school and come out to New Jersey. If she knows it's love, it's going to be fine a year from now. She just should do long distance until he can move once he's done with school and get a real job and then figure it out from there.
Yeah. 3 to 4 months is a pretty short time to be moving internationally.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this is Jeremiah from Philly. I'm 23 and I've been dating my girlfriend for 3 years now. She is terrific. I love her to death. Could not fathom spending the rest of my life with anyone else. She's not only my girlfriend.
You're 23, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? She's not only my girlfriend, but my best friend. Like in medieval days, he'd be, you know, middle-aged. In the past few weeks, we have discussed the idea of moving in together this summer after her current lease is up. We firmly believe that this will allow our relationship to continue to progress and flourish. However, I have heard many times that moving in together can make or break a relationship. I do not believe that the latter would occur, but I want this to be a healthy and positive experience for both of us. We met on Tinder and went to different universities, lived an hour apart, and for the bulk of our relationship, we would only see each other for a day or two on the weekend. It wasn't until this past summer where we started seeing each other more frequently, but again, we see each other for only 3 days a week or so. My question is simple. Do either of you, do any of us, have any advice or tips for a couple who is looking to move in together? How can we make this experience as successful as possible? And do you have any advice on how to create a healthy environment? I hope to hear back from you.
Natalie, have you ever lived with someone you were dating?
No. I mean, college doesn't really count, right? Because it's like fake living with each other because it's like dorm room life.
Why? Did you live with somebody in your dorm that you were dating?
No, like when we moved off campus, I was basically like living, not okay. living, but like yeah. I spent all my time in my boyfriend's apartment.
Yes. No, that doesn't
but
count.
But Nadia did exactly like super, she did this exact thing recently. So she was dating this guy. They matched on Tinder. They talked for a while because he lived in Connecticut. She lived here. They dated for a while. They dated like they met up. And then as soon as they met up, they realized like they were kind of like head over heels with each other. But they did the long distance dating. So she lived in New Jersey. He lived in New York, in Connecticut. They would hang out on weekends. He would come here. She would go there. She got to know him. But then they realized like, oh, shit, this is the real deal. And then they moved in a year after. And she's been living with him now since the summer. And they did transition. So before she moved in with him, then they got their own place together. And so they did it like super chill, not overnight. This guy, kind of the same timeline. They've been dating for a while. And so I think he should just go for it. And she knew that too. It's like either make or break when you live with somebody. And thank God it made them and they realize that they're super compatible. And so I think this guy's on the right track. Forget it. Like try it out. And then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. He's like literally a baby. He has time to recover and like, you know, do whatever he needs to do.
Steven, did you have any tips when you and your then girlfriend moved in together?
Well, so in general, I mean, you know, there has been a little bit of debate about the, you know, how good it is to move in together as mm-hmm. a kind of next step in the relationship before marriage, because there's a lot of data that suggests that people who move in together, you know, often they do it as an intermediate step instead of getting married. Uh-huh. And then like they end up like having this sort of, you know, they end up having this kind of half in relationship where it sort of diffuses the, you know, are we together or are we not together? But at the same time, you're like actually
really?
Living together. So it's known to create some problems in relationships, but you know, it also depends, I think, on what the rationale is for living together. You know, if people
yes.
are making that jump because someone's lease is up, you know, yeah. and there's a little bit of financial pressure or just, you know, the pressure of
or the pressure in general where one of them feels like they have to do it for the other person, I think if you force it, it can never end up like, you know, good.
Yeah. But it sounds like this couple is both of them are really into this idea. I mean, you know, I have lived with a couple of people, you know, one of those seems to be working out really well. obviously the others didn't. And I had a lot, you know, there's always that big hump when you move in together where
yeah.
just like you start fighting about stupid or not mm-hmm. fighting necessarily, but like disagreeing about stupid things, you know, like the little routines in your life that you're not even aware of, you know, someone else is doing
bother somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. And it totally upends, you know, your daily habits. You know, it could be as anything as like, do you rinse your dishes before or after you put them in the dishwasher? You know, this
dishwasher.
Is like before.
Oh my yeah. God. But isn't it better to know all this stuff before you like ask somebody to marry them? So even if it does happen, I would rather go through that process of realizing that I'm not compatible to be with somebody than to like get engaged and be like, oh shit, I actually just hate this person. I just didn't realize it.
Oh, totally. I think it's like an important step. I mean, you know, you just be, you know, as long as it, you guys are, you know, doing it because, you know, you, it is sort of a natural escalation that you both are excited about.
Yeah.
But just be aware that there will be dumb conflicts. And, you know, I think that like knowing when you expect a dumb conflict, then you can like see it for what it is a little bit and be like, oh, this is a dumb conflict. I knew this was going to happen. Whereas if it kind of blindsides you and you're, you know, enraged about the state of your silverware, you know, you might think it's like some more essential thing than it actually is.
In terms of an actual tip, though, in terms of finding a place, something that has been, I think, very important in the success of my living situation, and I've certainly had many a fight with my wonderful wife, Nicole, is that I think that separate bathrooms, if you can afford a place that has two bathrooms, I think that that is really important, because I think you always want to keep some mystery going on. And I think that there is a real lack of mystery that comes into play when you're not only sharing your living quarters, but also sharing a bathroom.
Yes, agreed. And I think that like, just like the bathroom is so, like, it's such an intimate space. And then on top of it, like, the standards of one person's like, oh, it's not dirty. And then the other one's, it's like, oh my God, it's disgusting. Like, so that you don't want to be fighting. The last thing you want to be fighting about is your bloody, like, the actual toilet. And like, oh my God, you didn't put the seat down. So if you can avoid that, that would be amazing.
That would be good.
I think like living with Nadia my entire life, Nadia is like the girl in our relationship and I'm like the guy. So Nadia and I have had these arguments where it's like my turn to load the dishwasher and she'll rant and rant about how I loaded the dishwasher in a bad way. And I'm like, how do you load a dishwasher badly? Like things are in the dishwasher. They're going to get washed. And she'll be like, no, you have to put it like this. And this goes here. And I'm like, does it matter? And then she will like literally get so mad at me about things like that. So, and I've learned now, like, so we figured out like, okay, I'll do different chores and Nadi just always is the dishwasher and I'll do like cleaning the floors or something. And so we've had to maneuver our way because once we graduated from college and we had to live in like a real apartment, those factors came into play and before it never was. And so like, what Stephen was saying, like these small issues become big issues. And if you don't learn how to realize that they're just small, you just need to work around them, they can become like these huge, like, you know, issues in your relationship and cause other, you know, tension in other areas. So I feel like I know exactly what he's talking about, even though I've never lived with a spouse. Living with Nadi was like living with a wife.
So that's so smart. Like the idea of, you know, try to compromise when you can compromise. But if you can't, like, you know, if Nadi is not willing to give on this dishwasher issue, then she should be the one to do the dishwashers. It's like finding workarounds. Mm-hmm. I think that's really smart.
And she was like, yeah, it took away tension because then we didn't argue. And she would literally be like, no, the plates go straight. I'm like, why does it matter? Like to me, it didn't matter.
How are you putting the plates?
But to her, it did. So I was like, you can do the dishwasher. I'll just do the floors and like the bathroom. And she's like, okay, cool. And so when we did chores every week, we just had like, I had all like the simple things and like she would do the kitchen. And I was like, okay, cool. This works.
And then when you date, Natalie, are you looking to find somebody who is going to fill the Nadia role? Or are you looking for somebody that's even more of the Natalie than you are?
Oh my God. No, I need somebody that's not as crazy as me. So like, that's why Nadia and I work together, is because we're kind of opposite personalities, even though we're so similar in so many ways. And so I think with dating, I would need somebody that isn't crazy like me. I would need somebody that's a little bit more calm and like, so I shouldn't be date. I date guys who are like male versions of myself, which is bad news. Like exactly the same person.
This has to do with being ghosted. And okay, this is from a guy named Alfred. And he says, I recently decided I want to start dating guys again because I just recently graduated from college and I've been working at a pretty solid rate at this point. I'm fairly young. I'm a 23-year-old male myself, but I'm just running into the same problems over and over again. Whenever I feel like everything is going right and everything is going the way it should and I feel confident, I get ghosted and I get left wondering what went wrong. What did I do? Did I miss something? I just get left without any closure, and I feel less and less confident whenever I decide to see anyone else for the fear the same thing is going to happen to me. So my question to you guys is, have any of you ever been ghosted by someone before? And what can I do to help me not feel disillusioned by the idea of dating? If this is something that keeps happening to me, I'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks. So I have been ghosted a number of times by podcast guests that I feel like I have a good relationship with a person. I say, hey, you want to do a podcast on this day? And then I text these survivors and like, hey, you ready to go? And they're just like, they don't even answer me. And then it's like,
well,
I just
today
got ghosted.
You almost ghosted me.
Yeah,
I did. I was like, wait, is it today or tomorrow? Can we do tomorrow? But I knew it was the day. I was
That's
just acting
fine.
Oblivious.
At least you wrote back to me. I've had these people before that they don't even write back. And then it's like, oh, I just got ghosted.
But I've been ghosted. What about you, Steven? Have you been ghosted in dating?
Oh, yeah. It's the worst. It's the worst. There's no worse human experience than like when you think you're being ghosted and you text someone and then you're just like, watch your phone waiting for the.
Yeah. See, so my response to being ghosted is I've actually just asked guys, like, and I know it's me being a psychopath. Like, I'll just be like, hey, like, because I'm so upfront with guys. Like, I will text a guy on the second day when he's texting me like some cute bullshit. I'll just be like, listen, I'm sorry. The chemistry was just not right for me. I had a really good time. And I just am so forthcoming. And I think guys just think that I can't handle, not because I'm a woman, just they just in general probably just think that whoever, like, doesn't matter if they were dating guys or girls, I don't know. I just feel like people just don't think that people can handle the truth. And for me, I'm not online dating because these are my, like, every guy's my soulmate. So what's the harm in just being super upfront? And I'm not trying to waste their time. And I just tell a guy, like, I've told a guy before, like, listen, like, you're just, like, a guy. I went on a date with him and he was, like, my height. And I just told him, like, listen, I'm just not comfortable dating a guy that's, like, exactly my height. I just was told him upfront and, like, I'm sure it stung at first, but in the long run, it's way better than me ghosting him and him wondering, oh my God, why didn't she text me back? She literally fell off the planet.
Could you make up like I'm 100% with you about being upfront. Like, listen, it's not working out. Do you have to tell him it's because he's too short?
But you can be nicer. Yeah. No, you can be nicer. Exactly. Yeah. Like, so if a guy went out with me and he wanted to be like, oh, like, you're just not hot enough for me. If he wanted to be nice, he could just be like, I use the chemistry thing a couple of times when I'm trying to be nicer. Like than being a complete, like, you know, completely honest. And that works fine. And if a guy wants to use that line, I would rather him text me that. And then I know, all right, chapter closed, like keep it moving. Then I just drive myself crazy. Not because I'm wondering about the guy. I'm wondering about what I did. I'm like, oh my God, what did I do something? Exactly. Exactly. But it sucks being ghosted. I've ghosted other guys. And once it happened to me, I told myself I'm never doing that again. And so I'm just upfront now with guys. And I just, if they text me, double text me, and they don't get it immediately that I'm not interested, I'm just going to tell them.
I'm totally with you. I mean, I don't even think people are being as thoughtful as thinking she can't handle it. I just think they want, you know, people
they're
want so
assholes.
Much. Yeah, they just don't want, they want to avoid the awkwardness. It's much easier to not say anything, but it's so much less considerate. I mean, you know,
so out of control. It's like an epidemic. It's crazy that, and I think it has to do with how dating nowadays, if people are ADD and like they couldn't, maybe some of them just don't even think about a girl after they go on a date with them because they have like another date lined up the very next day. And that's not impossible. I've done that. I've gone on two different dates with two different guys one day after the next, you know, because it's so easy to do with Bumble. It's like on to the next, there's a million guys there. And if you don't have the attention span and one person doesn't hold your attention for more than 24 hours, it's so easy to just be like, all right, let me just find a new distraction, you know, and go on another date. And it could be as simple as the guy just like not even thinking that he needs to text you after a date because it just didn't go as he thought. And for him, it's like on to the next, you know, it's just like an epidemic in our age.
I mean, I totally agree. And I think, you know, what's A's name?
Alfred.
I think Alfred, you know, to Natalie's point, it's an epidemic. So you can't beat yourself up about it. You know, you can't let it meet, you know, obviously it doesn't mean you did anything wrong because it's happening to everybody all the time.
Everybody.
So what can Alfred do to not get so down? I mean, could you like be on a date with somebody and it's like, look, if this doesn't work out, Let's just have a safe word. And then you just text it to me and then I'll know, okay, it didn't work out. But I don't like when people, because I've been ghosted before. I don't like when I'm going to have to sit there and then wait to see if I get a response.
It's so awkward. If somebody brought that up to me, that's awkward as hell. Like, I've had a guy say that to me on a date. Like, he was like, meanwhile, he was buying me drinks. And then he was like, he was like lamenting about how he went on this date with this chick and she ghosted him. And I was thinking to myself while I was having drinks with him, like, this is not going anywhere. And then he brought the conversation. He brought up this, like, like this girl, like, I spent like, you know, like $100 on drinks, and then she just goes.
Way to make yourself seem like petty and
Exactly, and then made me uncomfortable. Even if I was into him, I would have felt uncomfortable. I wasn't into him, so I was thinking to myself, I was like trying to tally up the drinks and be like, okay, maybe I should split the bill with him so that I'm not this chick that leaves him feeling salty. Because I kind of believe in dating karma now, because I've done the messed up things while dating. So now I'm a little bit more conscious of my etiquette. So I want to like put good vibes out there, because I don't want to feel like I've felt, and I feel like I've made guys feel shitty. And so I don't want to put those like kind of bad, the bad karma out there.
So
I
want to need to go fix everything before you can meet your soulmate. You're like, my name is Earl.
I think I already probably swiped left on my soulmate being being too superficial. Yeah. I feel bad for him. I feel his pain. I feel like he needs to just, I feel like after I got ghosted once, it's easier to get ghosted a second time, because you're not as hard on yourself as you were the first time. So I feel like he just needs to not take it personally and just keep dating. And then, you know, once he gets to ghost somebody, then he'll probably feel better. Maybe.
No, don't do it. You have to pay it forward. You know, you got to live, you know, be the change you want to see.
So I've had a girl get ghosted on her birthday after dating a guy for a year. And he literally ghosted her the day before her birthday. And we never heard from him again.
What?
Ever.
That's crazy. After a year.
Crazy. He had met her family, and we were like, I was just like, okay, he's a sociopath, because nobody does that. Like, he had met her family. I had met him, and I lived in New Jersey. She lives in Connecticut, and like, we met him on the holidays. Like, they did, like, went away on a vacation together, and then randomly on her birthday, just ghosted her. And like, we literally, nobody, like, we did like some crazy stuff together. We like showed up at his house once, like, when I was in town. I was like, instigating. I was like, yeah, let's just go to his house. Like,
and what happened?
He wasn't there because he had a roommate, and the roommate answered, but like, it just drove her crazy.
He was
my
hiding.
Friend I mean, who knows
there.
Probably but like, it drove my friend crazy. And like, all I wished was he would just be up front and told her, like, listen, it's like, after a year I realized I don't really like you. That's so random, but whatever it is, like, just say what you need to say, because she was driving herself crazy, and she was definitely very insecure dating after that, because you just have this like this experience that kind of like, in the back of her mind, she always thought of like, this guy could ghost me too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. I don't know. Ghosting is tricky.
So one more question from, there's no even initial here, so we'll say Hervé. Hervé is following up on a question we had on our last show about someone who had a lot of anxiety because he was inexperienced. And we really kind of talked about
dating.
Okay. Right. So we kind of talked about overcoming your anxiety dating, but this guy has a slightly more specific question. Hervé says, I'm in my mid to late 20s and have very little experience with dating. I'm not so worried about how to get a date, but I think a lot about what will happen when things start to get more intimate or physical. I'm not looking for any Dr. Ruth type advice, but what do you see as the best way of handling inexperience in this kind of situation where there are probably certain expectations of a guy in this age range? Do you fake it till you make it? Do you bring it up in a joking manner to try and lower expectations? Do you have a serious conversation about it? Of course, there can be a lot of variables, such as whether this is someone you are really interested in a serious manner, or someone you just want to have fun with. What do you think? Have you ever confronted this, Natalie, someone not having a lot of experience?
So wait, is he a virgin?
Not necessarily. I just like, you know, maybe
just dating,
you know,
possibly new dating.
We'll say possibly, but he doesn't know exactly what's the best way to bring up any potential inexperience. That should he call it out or should he act like he knows what he's doing?
Yeah. Oh my God, this is tricky. Cause I feel like he should one just probably have a few drinks in him on you know, just to loosen up. And then I think he should. He should try not to do online dating at the start and meet people or date people he already knows, so he's a little bit more comfortable. Or he can just do, like, you know, what is it like called, the immersion therapy, where he just goes to like one date, first date, he's like, all right, I'm just gonna get rid of all my insecurities, I'm just gonna go all the way to the end, I'm gonna tell this girl, listen, I just need more experience, like I whatever I need to do to like get all his like anxiety out of him, and then like then start dating again. But I that's weird. I don't know.
Is that
know
gonna
what
go
I would
well
do.
When you tell the person, I just need to get experience here?
Oh yeah, as a girl it would go well. As a guy saying that, probably not.
right. Well, I mean, I can't imagine the work scenario where you show up like, look, I don't really want this job, but like I just need to get experience here today.
But that's what an internship is. He needs a dating internship.
Yeah, he does. He could. I think that he should just take it slow. Maybe don't do Bumble. Maybe do something more like, I don't know, like do Tinder, because Tinder is like exactly for hookups. And so maybe he just needs to do a lot of like get his experience in on Bumble with girls that are, you know, basically ready for hookups. And then he can just get rid of all his anxiety that way and like get more experience. Basically,
what does he say? Like those first few times he's in the bedroom, you know,
I wouldn't say
things
anything
are about to get hot and heavy.
You think he should just act like, just go like he knows what he's doing?
Oh, you know what he could do? This is kind of manipulative, but he could say like, listen, I've been in a relationship for a really long time. And I'm just coming out of this relationship. And so this is the first time I'm being intimate with a new person. I feel like that could go well for him and
that's
help
good.
Him.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And so then the girl would be like, okay, he's not a complete loser, but like, he is telling me that he's like vulnerable, and like honestly, I would probably be like, ew, get away from me. But I feel like most girls would appreciate it and be like, oh my God, like he's being so nice. And it's kind of true. It's not like he's completely being completely deceitful, but it plays in his advantage where he doesn't have to say that he's inexperienced. He can just kind of say that this is kind of new waters for me. So, you know, I'm just giving you the heads up. I think that would be the best route.
But isn't that you're saying it's sort of like you're being an honest approach, but your honest approach is that you're making up like a totally different lie about something else, about this other relationship that he just got out of?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that not, you know, everybody is different, right? Everyone likes different things between the sheets. So just like I feel like there's like this idea that you could be like some perfect Lothario, you know, programmed to give maximum pleasure to every single person at all times is a little bit, it's like a false ideal, you know, like
no matter
who you're with, you know, that you're going to be new to them and they're going to be new to you. And just being, conscious of that and attentive to them, I feel like can go a long way.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that we all have these almost unattainable like expectations of what dating is like. And the more you date and the more single, like the longer you've been single, the more you realize like this is not going to be like a scene from 50 Shades of Grey on the first night. Okay, like we need to get it together. And like you have to be able to be flexible, and not everybody, like whether he's experienced or not, like every first date, every time you're, you know, get going there with a new person, it's going to be tricky for everybody. So he just needs to probably just like, you know, deal with this insecurity, and then he'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you like embrace and laugh at just like the inherent awkwardness of those moments, you know, that can go a long way rather than like getting all caught up in like the fear of it. Just like it's hilarious. Yeah. You know,
we can all find insecurities then if we're dating. Like one of the things that I always like, not, I don't always think about it, but sometimes it comes up is like, it'll be randomly come up that like the guy that I'm dating has never dated like a woman of color or like something like that, where I feel like a little bit self-conscious. And then I'm like, you know what? Like, that's fine. Like I haven't dated every ethnicity. And so like, if I'm, it's not like I wanted, sometimes it can be a little bit like really? That's weird. But then I'm like, it's not that weird. It's just like new for him. It's fine. And then I just move forward with it. But like, it would be easy for me to sometimes get caught up in some things that I feel insecure about, or like I over now.
Should you bring that up?
Like I kind of usually just make a joke of it. So like if it comes up, like then the guy would be like, wait, have you ever hooked up with a white guy? And I'm like, this is America. Of course I have. Like, you know. So, and I'll just make a joke of it because I'm not that sensitive, but I feel like, for some people that can be, you know, dating as a minority woman, it's like you don't think of it if you're a white male or a white female, because everybody around you is always almost like you. And like, mm-hmm. for me dating, it's like I've never actually dated a brownie, like officially dated a brownie, or like, you know, so I guess I don't know. It's just like the circumstance, I guess. But I don't know. It's just weird.
Okay.
It's like unique situation.
Let me just touch on a couple of quick follow-ups. Sometimes people email us back after we talked about their situation on the show to give us more information or how it worked out. And last week, okay. we talked to a woman who she was concerned, Natalie, because she was dating a football fan and they had been on two dates. And then the guy told her that he destroyed a chest of drawers in his house after watching a football game. Was this a red flag? And I said, look, I'm a Jets fan. You know, that's no big deal. And she wrote back to us to say, guys, I'm writing a follow up on the question. My new beau is the one that punched the drawer. And she said, one, Rob, you were correct. It was a pretty flimsy dresser as opposed to a strong oak dresser. And the game that he was watching. And I said, well, like, you know, what game was it? How bad was it? She says it was the Georgia college game. And when she Googled it. The headline said, Georgia lets a national title slip through its fingers in a heartbreaking fashion. So she says that she guesses a lot of people were upset about that game. So
Did he go there? I wonder if he went there.
I think he was watching it on TV.
No, but I'm saying, did he go to Georgia, or if he's just
I'm not sure.
Oh, huge. Yeah.
That we don't know.
That's funny that she was like, okay, so if he actually, first of all, the fact that he told her is pretty amazing, because I don't know if I would tell a girl I was dating that I, you know, destroyed a set of drawers.
Yeah.
But, so wait, she's just like asking advice about what to do, or like,
well, she was asking, well, should she dump this guy? Because is he going to be like, is this a red flag that he's like an abusive person? And again, who's to say? Who knows? But, I don't think that, every person that's ever, you know, punch something because of sport. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of Saints fans last week that broke a lot of furniture.
Yeah.
The Saints are a football team.
I thought this
team,
was like religious orders.
Yeah. Yeah. An NFL team.
Fans of the Saints. Come on. Who isn't?
So I was on a date with a guy that punched a person while I was with him.
Why?
I'm not even lying.
That's an escalation. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah. And I, well, exactly. But he was like, I immediately was like, okay. And I thought he seemed normal, nice, like whatever. Like I dated him for a couple of, you know, for probably like I was dating him, but he lived far away. So I didn't see him often, but for like a month and a half. And then, you know, one day we took his like dog for a walk on the beach and then got back to his place. And then his dog was outside and we went into the house for a second and I heard like some scuffling. So we go outside and there's a cop holding his dog on a lead. And he's like, hey, like, is this your dog? And this guy just goes berserk. He was Canadian too. I don't know, like whatever. And he like goes berserk, like tries to attack the cop. In 2 seconds, he's in handcuffs on the ground. Wow. And he's like asking me, he's like, hey, do you mind coming to the precinct? I was like, if I came to the precinct, I would say I saw you attack a cop. Like, that's what I would say. I was like, bye-bye, like, bye. And I just like, I tried to ghost him. This is before ghosting even existed. This is so long ago. He was like, I tried to just ignore him. And then he called me when he got out of jail because he got arrested.
Were you his one phone call?
No. He called me when he got home. And he was like, he just tried to act like everything was okay. And I was like, dude, have you always had these anger issues? And he was like, I can't believe you're on the cop's side.
Not only did he hit a guy, he went for a cop. Like you didn't like give like feel like you buried the lead there. Even it's like
I know, and it was just like, and he just thought it was so normal. Yeah. And for me, I just had to cut him off. So you know, it's hard for me because I was like, if I was in a position, I would be precautious just because people, that is kind of a big deal, but I probably would ask, at least talk to him about it and see, be like, hey, do you have anger issues? And just probe him to see if it was just like a one-time thing or this is a pattern. And if it scares her, maybe she should be a little bit precautious.
Natalie, I can't believe you dated Robbie Anderson.
Who?
He's on the Jets. He tried to fight the police also.
Oh, he did. I know Robbie Anderson because my birthday is 11 and his jersey, he's number 11. And so I was thinking I need to get an Anderson jersey because it works out well
for
me.
I'd hold off.
Yeah, no, I didn't know he tried to beat up he had a fight with a cop, really?
Yeah, that just happened over the weekend. All right, and then we have one other
That's like
update.
Typical of Jets players, whatever.
Yes, one other update. This is from one of our listeners who has some other ideas for the Love Know-It-Alls.
Okay.
Hi, Stephen and Rob. Ted from Toronto here. So after all the talk of polyamory in the last episode, I don't know if you guys realized, but the Know-It-Alls really are polyamorous at this point. After being in a monogamous relationship with Survivor for so many years, with Survivor's knowledge, you've expanded into this love know-it-all area. And you know what? It's going well. And the reason I personally think it's going well is that you guys are really, really good at strategic decision-making, not necessarily the actual dating. But I think this can expand into other areas. Imagine a career know-it-alls where people call in with their work or job-related issues and they say, Stephen and Rob, what am I to do? Use your strategery to help me out. I think that would be awesome. Expand the brand. Let me know.
That's my dream, Rob.
Yeah, Natalie, is it true that you said that would be a good idea because we should be giving advice about anything else except for relationships?
Yeah, I feel like you guys need a third wingman that has a completely opposite. And it could be a wing woman, I don't know, but like has a completely opposite. But I like the guy thing. So like, Rob, you've been married for so long, you have kids. Steven's just getting into the marriage part. He's done the dating and he's done like the engagement. He's lived with girls before. And then you need a guy that's been forever single.
He's out there like, on the scene.
Like a guy that's completely opposite from you two, and have the joint perspective.
Yeah.
I think that would be really interesting.
You know, I thought that when Ted was going to be bringing up how this is like, okay, well, now we know about polyamory. I thought he was talking about how it's like me and Steven are in like this married relationship and now we're spicing it up by bringing in all these guests.
Yeah, that's true. I like that.
Yeah. I'm down for spice. I'm down for guests. I'm down for, you know, I'm down for anything. I'm DTP. Ooh. I'm down to podcast.
Down to podcast. Okay. Yeah. Natalie, thank you so much. You were such an amazing guest to go through everything. Thank you for sharing so much about yourself and all of your great advice. I'm sure the listeners really appreciated it.
No problem. And can I just say something that really irks me about Survivor for people in general and dating apps?
Yes. What, so, Survivor fans or Survivor players?
Survivor players.
Okay.
So I've seen a couple of Survivor players, like friends and stuff, and people put Survivor pictures on their Bumble accounts. And I'm always like more than one sometimes. Like for me, it's like the last thing I want people to know when they're, their initial reaction to me would never be like, I would never have a picture of me on the damn beach, like starving or like making it obvious that I was on a TV show. It's like I'm literally just like, you know, but I think that most people just put it out there. And it really irks me when they like have their information is like TV personality. And then they're like,
that's terrible.
Too desperate. It's too desperate.
Terrible. Terrible.
Natalie, like, you would never do that, right? Only Amazing Race pictures.
Yeah. Only me on Amazing Race. Like, all pink. Pink from head to toe.
Wait, but you're saying don't put any Survivor pictures out there? Oh, I disagree with that.
No, nothing on your Bumble profile.
Oh, I would definitely put it. Are you kidding? Like how am I going to distinguish myself?
Yeah,
from
it's
every
the whole
other
reason why we went on the show, Natalie.
I would never.
Oh no! I'm 100%. I mean, like,
but then it's happened to me where I'm like on a date. Like this happened to me recently in Connecticut. I was on a date, and I was with a guy and a bunch of his friends, and this random, and I wish I knew him because it was so funny. But I was like, I was out the day after Thanksgiving, and this guy was like, yo, it's Natalie from Survivor. And all the guys that I'm with, because I was with him and all his friends, they just turned, like, slow turned their head towards me. They're like, what? And I was like, okay, let's keep going. And then, like, the rest of the night, the conversation was actually really good because, like, you never not have something to talk about. And a lot of my girlfriends use me as bait when we are out. we'll be out at a bar and like there'll be a bunch of guys like around us, and my girlfriend, one of my girlfriends specifically, would be like, oh, this is my friend Natalie, she won Survivor. And immediately there's no awkward silence, guy, like the conversation just starts. Mm-hmm. Sparks up really fast. So I can see how it can be really useful, but I just don't like it. Like, I just don't.
You're a great wing woman.
Well, why? I don't get it. Like, it's all positive. It's going to, like, you know, more people are going to be like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, and then you'll have a really nice conversation because it's kind of interesting to talk about.
I know,
why wouldn't you put your best foot forward, whatever that foot is?
I know, but I just feel like it's so easy to judge me if you like come across any of the videos of me. So I rather people just get to know me for who I am and then have that information later to kind of like digest. Cause off the bat, it's a lot of information to just, cause I don't know how I would react if I met somebody and then they had these crazy videos of them. And I don't know, I feel like I would be like, oh, this is extra.
It is true that like, I was with my current fiance when I went on my second season. And so my experience of dating is only having my first season of clips out there. I might make a different decision now.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. Exactly. Right. And like, obviously I ended up winning, so it's awesome, but I still have some video clips and videos of me being like a crazy person. And so, I just think that it's hard enough to date with so much information available to people, because then they can just Google me and find out every single thing about me if they know, you know, who I am.
Natalie, I was worried. It sounded like the police were coming to get that guy you went on the date with the dog again.
No, I ghosted him.
Okay, good. Good. See, and what are you saying? So you're saying that you should put a Survivor picture in there, but don't make it your like main profile picture, Steven?
Yeah, I think like the second one, because it's, you know, like the first one, you know, it's like, oh, that's interesting. Like,
oh, is that Steven from Survivor? And I was like, oh, yeah, it is.
Steven?
Yeah. Well, no, just like have a picture with like Probst. And they're like, wait a second, is that Jeff? You know, I mean, just the.
Okay,
the
yeah, it's, only like the,
it's like better than being next to a cute animal is like being next to Jeff Probst.
Maybe holding Jeff Probst in a
picture. Yeah.
Most people I date wouldn't even recognize Jeff Probst. Okay, let's be honest.
Right. Okay. All right, so different people. I think I would probably, if I was back on the dating scene, I don't think I would have any. Well, again, that'd be from like 15 years ago, but I don't think I wouldn't do it. I don't think I would. I would want to do it because I wouldn't want. You know, it's like I feel like it's too awkward. I feel like then people would see it and make fun of me, I think.
Yeah, but it's fun when it's organic and like when a fan sees me out on a date, and that's happened to me a couple of times when like I'm on a date with a guy, whether it's in a group with a bunch of people, and a fan will say something, and then it just like throws the guy off, or like it just throws everything is just like a whirlwind afterwards, because they're just like, wait, what? Especially if I've gone out with him a couple of times and I've never said anything about it, obviously, and then like a random person will be like, oh my god, Natalie, and like ask me for a picture, the guy's like, wait, what?
The dream. That's the dream.
That's awesome. When that happens, like, thank you, fans, for doing that, because you get me a lot of brownie points. but if it's organic, it's cool. Like, I just don't want to put it out there because I don't want that to be the initial conversation between us.
Okay. All right. The great Natalie Anderson. You heard here today how she won Survivor, how she won Miss Survivor. Says,
yes, I can't believe I'm still Miss Survivor.
Yes, forever, I think.
Yeah.
Forever.
Who's my mister? It's me and Spencer, right?
Yeah, you and Spencer. And that we'll see maybe one day. I think I'd have another Mr. Survivor before another Miss Survivor.
Yeah, I could just be reigning Miss Survivor.
Sure, they broke the mold. And you are it forever. And you've shown us here today why. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do we have a hashtag for this episode, Natalie? I've got hashtag Friendzone Island.
Yes, that's pretty good. That's awesome.
Okay. Don't go to Friendzone Island.
Oh, ghost or be ghosted.
Ghost or be ghosted. Love you, bagel.
Friendzone Island is, Friendzone Island is good. I like it.
Okay. Great stuff. Okay, so follow Natalie on, do you do more stuff on Twitter or on Insta?
I was like silent on everything for like a year because
you were ghosting us. Like,
I ghosted everybody, dude. Like, I was just like on my own. I was like on like exactly like my own island by myself, taking care of me. But no, like now I'm on Instagram probably the most. I promised that I would tweet more because I didn't tweet for like entire year, but I'm probably on Instagram the most.
Okay. So at Natalie Ann on everything.
Yes, same thing.
Okay, and with two E's, right?
Two E's, correct.
Okay. Natalie E and...
A-N-D, yep.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And would you, if we, I asked this, we talked to Michelle last week, but if you got,
oh, cute. Yeah.
If you got anybody writing in, do you want me to forward you any date requests or that's a hard pass?
Yeah. No, that's fine. But with a picture, and like weight and height, weight and height and picture.
Yeah.
I need the roster and like, I need stats. So I just need your weight, your height, and a picture.
Okay. Can you give some stat minimum? You said like 190 is the minimum weight.
I said 190 is like, I mean, ideally 200, but I'm being more flexible because I need to like, I need to be a little bit, I can't be a crazy person. So for me, like 30 pounds. So I like weigh 150, mm-hmm. anywhere from like 145 to 150. So for me, a minimum is a hard minimum is 175. And then 175 to 190 is good. Anything in like 200, I'm talking about 200, like about like, you know, muscular 200.
Right.
Obviously some meat is nice. Obviously I don't mind a meaty guy, but you have to have some amount of muscles, but yeah.
Okay. You need the shirt on or off in these pictures?
Shirt off preferably.
Okay.
And
oh.
Like, yeah.
All right. But keep your pants on, guys. I don't flood my inbox here.
Yeah. No inappropriate pictures.
You can send those to Natalie once she initiates the conversation. You guys do whatever you want.
You can DM me those pictures if you want.
Okay. All right. This was so much fun. Steven, what else is going on with you? What do you do in the Survivor off season?
Oh my gosh, just like sleep and prepare, you know, just like rest and I have a lot of, I actually get Survivor nightmares right before the Survivor season starts.
Do you still CrossFit, Steven? Oh no.
I would, except there's not one really close to me in Providence. I need to get back into it. And maybe when
you moved to Providence, I forgot.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's crazy.
Wait, what are your Survivor nightmares that you have before when the cast gets announced? You have nightmares?
Just in general, I can like, I know a new Survivor season is approaching when I start to like wake up in a panic from like having dreams of being out there.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Do you guys not have nightmares?
No.
Oh my god.
Well, she won. What does she have a nightmare about?
True, I guess, but it's still like kind of wrecked when you think.
Do you
about,
have Amazing Race nightmares?
Yeah, I had like bad nightmares from Amazing Race the second season, but not anymore.
Obviously. Not anymore.
Just deja vu of like the last leg.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Steven, sleep soundly. Hopefully that the night terrors stop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully. Seriously. Okay.
All When's your wedding, Steven?
June.
Oh, wow.
I know. Getting there. It's close. Yeah.
Wedding season. All right. Send us your emails, KIA@robisawebsite.com with more questions for next time. And then also send us the emails as well. robisawebsite.com/voicemail. Steven, anything else?
No, this was great. Rob, what about you? What's news with you? Anything?
Oh, so much stuff going on that we've been doing some really long form Survivor interviews with the people from this past season. I don't want to spoil it for Natalie. I don't know if she watched the whole season yet. Did you the winner? We talked to the winner. We talked to the winner. I know who won. Yes.
I know who won.
Those are up on robinswebsite.com. We're going to talk to Dr. Mike this week. So we're very excited about that. I've also got a really fun podcast coming up on Tuesday where I am talking with someone who went through and watched every single Survivor cameo that a Survivor has made since they appeared on the show.
That's really fun.
We're talking about the 15 greatest Survivor cameos of all time. That's going to be coming up on Tuesday.
Can I just give my favorite
podcast? Yes, what is it?
When Brandon Hance hallucinates Russell Hance, that's got to be the best ever.
No. This is when things people have done after they were on Survivor.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So random things. So Jeremy and Bloody Joe going on, like, Bold and the
that
Beautiful.
Spoiler, that is not on the list, but those are the types of things we're
looking
at.
That's an example.
At. Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, like, Pavarotti doing, like, that Blue Crush movie or something.
That could have been on the list.
Oh, that's got to be on the list. Yeah. So, okay, wow.
I won't spoil it, but that's going to be on Tuesday. And, of course, Natalie, The Amazing Race is back as well. It's amazing. It's Amazing Race 30, if you can believe it or not, and a double episode coming up this week. So a lot of stuff happening on Rob is a Podcast. You can subscribe.
Yeah, you're busy.
robisawebsite.com/iTunes. And then, of course, to close out the show, here is the great Will from America. Natalie, you're going to want to hear this. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
The hottest hunks around.
The hottest hunks.
Don't to go to town. Like they've done the deed a million times. Well, actually, they never really get laid. They're gonna blow you up away. Steven and Rob, without a doubt, do stuff you can only dream about. They'll blow you up.
Natalie, should the guy that doesn't have that much experience, should he just put that song on and that'll really take care of everything?
Yeah, it'll just make it so awkward.